episode 15 of Welcome to Level 7, Season 1 Preview.
Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7, the unofficial podcast of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I am one of your hosts, Daniel Butcher. And I'm going to say this about Welcome to Level 7. We're glad you're here. There's a lot of other podcasts out there that you could have been listening to, like maybe three or four of them. Some of them claim to be the smartest. Some of them claim to be the best. But here at Welcome to Level 7, we're the only one to claim to be a hot mess.
No.
Oh. And there's my co-host.
You're starting with that?
Absolutely. You know, I did consider having a drinking game. How many times could I say it today?
Should I introduce myself?
Yeah, you should.
So I am Ben Avery, and I'm the other host of Welcome to Level 7. And I would also like to thank you for choosing us to spend some time with to talk about superheroes, regular heroes, Agent Coulson, villains, all that fun stuff that you get from comic books and comic book movies. We're here to talk about it, and we're glad that you're here with us. So
Ben, here we are.
We're
sitting here in our lair, recording on September 17th, exactly 1 week before the premiere of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That is correct, sir.
So I think that we need to do a little housekeeping and let everybody know that beginning with this episode, things are going to begin to sound a little bit different.
Just a little bit. The sound of things might be a little different, but the episode itself, we're not changing much about the content of things, if that makes any sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're trying out some new stuff. And
we may have more gadgets that we got from Q Branch. Oh, that's Bond.
Yeah. But yeah, we've picked up some things from Stark Technologies that we're going to use. And I think it'll be good. And we're going to try it out. And if we like it, we're going to keep doing it. And if we don't like it, then we'll dump it, you know, because we're here to have fun.
Just like Tony Stark with all those beautiful, beautiful. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
We're here to have fun. We're here to talk about this stuff. You know, like you were saying, we're not here because we're the smartest guys in the room. We're not here because we're going to tell you what's what. We're here hopefully to have a discussion with each other and with you, our listening audience. And while you're listening to us, you know, and you're sitting back in your love seat with that special someone, there's a fire roaring in the fireplace and you're listening to Daniel and me. And while we're doing that, you know, if you think of something, we want to hear from you. And we're really, that's part of the format change here, is to kind of put a more of a focus on feedback and the primary discussion time and that kind of thing. And for those of you who are new listeners, we would like to welcome you because this episode will be going up right before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. appears on TV. And, you know, this might be the first time you've heard our voices, and we're, again, glad to have you here and hope you join the conversation.
All right, let's get into it.
Yes, let's get into our news section, which we are calling the Intelligence Report. So I'm going to play our little bumper here, and let's talk about some news.
News!
From the Marvel Universe.
Here we go.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Intelligence Report.
All right, Daniel?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
All right. We got some news that I wanted to talk about. And this is something I found really interesting, not so much about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but actually about Ant-Man. I've seen recently that Disney has moved the release date for Ant-Man from November of 2015 to July of 2015. Mm. And now normally when they move a date like that, it's because, you know, they're moving it to a time when it's going to be more of a soft kind of thing. so that it doesn't have as much competition because they don't have as much faith in the movie. At least that's what happens usually.
So what are they moving it away from?
Well, they're moving it. This is what I don't understand. As far as, you know, not having faith in the movie, they're moving it away from James Bond. The next James Bond movie, which is directed by Mendez, who I think is the guy who directed the first of the new Daniel Craig ones. And so, yeah, they're moving it away from James Bond. And Scuttlebutt says that the reasoning for moving it away from James Bond is because Ant-Man kind of has that same kind of vibe. It's a, you know, technological spy thriller kind of thing. You know, and I could see why you would get Ant-Man and James Bond confused. I mean, this is almost like that summer when they had two James Bond movies in the same summer, right?
Well, that was a completely different thing.
Yeah, but you can see where you would say, oh, which one should I go to, Ant-Man or James Bond? It's the same thing. I don't understand. I'm confused. Right?
Well, I'm not that confused. I mean,
That's the joke, Daniel.
Oh.
Is that no one would really be.
There was a joke in there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry. I didn't use any of the sound effects, you know, like sad trombone or anything like that.
That would really help me out.
All right. So, yeah.
So let's do clear up something here real quick. You're talking about Sam Mendes,
mm-hmm.
who directed Skyfall, which was the last Bond movie.
Oh, I thought he'd – okay. Okay. Anyway, he directed a really good James Bond movie.
Yeah, and a fantastic one. So we know that Bond 24 is going to do pretty well. I mean, looking real quick at the box office here, wow. There's over $1 billion that occurred here of trade over Skyfall. So, yeah, Bond 24 is going to be a huge, huge hit. So I can see wanting to get away from that. But we're also looking at – this is 2015. And this is
2015.
Like, this is like
summer
weekend. I mean, we're going to be so bored in 2014. It's not even funny. I mean
– 2015, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Episode 7, Star Wars. Although I have seen a report now saying that they might have Star Wars. There's no firm date for that, and that it might actually be December in 2015 instead of May, which I'm expecting May because that was the traditional release date for movies for Star Wars movies. But Man of Steel sequel, Batman versus Superman, or Superman versus Batman, or whatever title they end up choosing to go with. In fact, Ant-Man is actually really close to Man of Steel or 2 or whatever you're going to call it. And so I'm thinking they just move this really small, obscure superhero movie into the shadow of Man of Steel.
But this is 2015. 2 weeks later, nobody's going to remember Batman versus Superman.
Right. They'll all be flocking to Ant-Man.
They will.
No, they won't.
They won't. Okay.
You have a new Pixar movie in there, too.
Yeah, but that's going to be a completely different audience.
Inside Out. I don't know anything about that. Is that the one where they're inside the person's head?
Yep, inside the brain.
And Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Nope.
No?
Nope, 2016.
Oh, they moved it.
They did.
Huh.
It appears that two things are occurring. A, there was this movie called The Lone Ranger that Disney's been a little shy about, Jerry Bruckheimer and Johnny Depp projects. Apparently it underperformed.
Yeah.
And Disney has a habit of writing Johnny Depp a lot of checks, a lot of them. So he's already got Into the Woods in production filming right now for Disney.
He's in Into the Woods?
He's the wolf in Into the Woods.
Really?
And in 2015, there's going to be an Alice in Wonderland 2. So he obviously will be a pretty big part of that. And my guess is if Disney had their way – I don't know what the release date is, but my guess is they would probably be looking for March for that because that's when the first Alice in Wonderland was released and was such a big hit. And that, let's be honest, they want to reclaim a weekend in March after John Carter.
Basically, Disney owns the blockbuster market here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, we're looking at Age of Ultron, and then just, you know, weeks later, Batman, Superman, and weeks later, Ant-Man. I mean, Ant-Man, it's similar to, like, Iron Man and Incredible Hulk, right? Or is it Iron Man? Yeah.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we will be there to see Ant-Man, but I just find it really interesting, and I'm wondering what the thinking is here to put it out basically in a time when it's going to be lost.
Well, and does this tell us that the connections between Age of Ultron and Ant-Man are fairly minor because it appears they don't need the same actors? With a break, you know, they're going to be in production at pretty much the same pace, if you know what I mean. So
it's
not like there's going to be a lot of overlap, is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I mean, you can pull in some people for some cameos and stuff like that. That's not too difficult. But yeah, I'm looking at this and thinking Ant-Man is just going to be lost. This is going to be probably one of the weaker openings for any Marvel movie. And people who are the general public who are willing to say, hey, I'll go to a Marvel movie. You know, I liked Iron Man. I liked Avengers. Oh, there's a Marvel movie this weekend. It's interesting because I'm thinking the competition against the summer and the competition against James Bond. You know, I'm wondering what else is in November, but I can't imagine there's too much else.
Well, maybe they're thinking like TV executives. I mean, that's what Bob Iger came from, and maybe he's thinking Age of Ultron will be the strong opener for Ant-Man, and that those viewers will stay tuned in.
A good lead in, yeah. I hadn't thought of that. That's interesting. Maybe. And especially if they have a strong, strong post-credits scene. You know, that actually leads into
with Thanos, Ant-Man. Preferably.
Well, Thanos and Ant-Man is, you know, like hiding in his nose.
Yeah.
Or something.
While eating shawarma.
He crawls out of the nose of Thanos and waves at the crowd. That'd be Deadpool, wouldn't it? Okay, so other news. We also have, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Website has been updated. And it is very interesting. It has lots of music that plays.
And won't stop playing.
And won't stop playing. They also have things where you can make an identity badge for yourself, which is kind of cool. I did that. It's on my Facebook right now.
So the thing I want to throw out about that is you have to use your Facebook profile page because I didn't – a profile pic, which I didn't want to do, so I haven't done it yet.
You could also use your Instagram, I think.
I don't have Instagram. I'm not that cool, man. I mean, it's Tuesday night and I'm recording a podcast. I mean
– yeah, well
– I'm not cool enough for Instagram. But this is agentsofshield.com. There's a tab that says Gear Up. And that tab is basically to enter a Twitter contest where they're doing sweeps if you're tweeting every day with the hashtag Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Here's the one that I've got questions about, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Collectible cards coming soon.
Yeah, I imagine that's a digital thing.
I've seen images up before. I think we even have some of them listed up on the old website.
Yeah.
But is this something tangible? Is this a virtual collectible card? Is this
I'm guessing
something
virtual,
you're going to order and have sent to the house?
That'd be cool.
What are these things?
I'm guessing digital.
I do know that Disney's been pushing pretty hard an iPhone app for virtual cards for Star Wars. So it's very possible that these are digital cards versus the ones that we've enjoyed as kids where you actually had the cardboard.
Yeah. So. Well, I don't think they're going to go back to that. And maybe you'll get some digital gum, too, with it, though.
Can I just make... If you ever find a pack of Topps cards from 1992, and you open them up, don't chew the gum.
So the next news item that we have is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1, Episode 2, synopsis was released, although I'm guessing it's possible that by the time you actually hear this episode, you might have even more episode synopsises released. But Episode 2 is called 084. Okay, so...
Wait. 084. Continue. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the official summary.
It's 12.
That's like the Riddler's terrible younger cousin. You know?
Wait. If you multiply, it's zero.
Zero times eight is zero times four. Yeah, you're right.
Did I crack the code?
I don't know. Here's the official summary. It says Coulson and his S.H.I.E.L.D. agents travel to Peru to investigate an object of unknown origin, codenamed 084. But when he runs into Commandant Camila Reyes, more than sparks fly at 30,000 feet. So,
clearly she has the power of electricity.
That could be, actually. Commandant Camilla Reyes is being played by Leonor Varela, and she is not a Marvel character from any comic book that I know of, and I've seen some people speculate about her, but none of the speculation I've seen, one speculation was there's an X-Men character with that last name. Well, they can't use X-Men characters for this show. They can't even use the word mutant.
See, so here's the funny thing. You and I, we actually talked about this one a few days ago, and we were both doing the same thing in our conversation simultaneously as we were reading through the synopsis. The first thing we did was Google it.
Yeah. Yep. And most of what you Google when you get this, you actually get some poor person who, I mean, not poor like financially, but poor, because I feel a little sorry for them because she's getting lots of hits on her Facebook page. And it's like her daughter's pictures or something like that. And then you're also getting, this synopsis. So I do find it interesting that they're going with that number theme. You have item 47 and now you have item or object 084.
Well, and yeah. I've heard a lot of people – I didn't watch Lost. I know some of our fans were pretty fanatical about Lost.
That's true.
And the numbers. So I know the numbers exist. I would not count on this being a code yet. It could just be random numbers and it's a one-off. So I'll be honest, that's what I'm hoping.
Well, it looks like it's identification, for the files. Because it's an object of unknown origin, codenamed 084.
Exactly. So I'm not going to read too much. As I was joking, adding them up, multiplying it. I don't think there's a secret code here.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least I'm hoping there's not.
So, the next item of business is there's some photos that have been not leaked because I don't think it's a leak. It's official. But for episode 4, and they are weird looking, man.
What's so weird about men in suits? They could be S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
They could be S.H.I.E.L.D. agents if S.H.I.E.L.D. has also changed their uniform to include some sort of weird red mask and some sort of, fedora, beret type hat. So, and again,
Is that a beret or is that more of a newsboy?
It's not really a beret hat, no. The reason I bring up beret is because some of the speculation I'm seeing about who these people are is there's a Captain America villain called Flag Smasher. And at least he's Captain America to me. I don't know if he really is a Captain America villain, but I've only read him in Captain America books. And
So let's pause real quick. So usually we attempt to give some background on some of these characters that you may not have known about before if you really weren't someone who had read a lot of the comic books in the past. I'm going to just go ahead and stick my toe out on this one and say, with Flag Smasher, I don't think many of us know who he is.
No, and the only reason I do is because he was in a run of Captain America that I was reading that storyline when I was in, I think it was high school, and he figured heavily into it. And he's basically an anti-Captain America, Flag Smasher. In the stories that I read, he had this huge mace, so it was S.H.I.E.L.D. versus mace,
Well, and I'm actually looking at a picture here where he's carrying a S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, really? So. And I know he uses guns and stuff like that. And his guys wear masks, not red masks, white masks, and they wear berets. And so that's why I think people are looking at and seeing the mask and the hat and saying, oh, Flag Smasher. I've also seen people say it's like some sort of Red Skull cult, which I think would be awesome if it was that kind of a callback there. The Red Skull followers, I mean, that could be cool. It could also be dumb, but anything we're talking about here could be cool, could be dumb.
To be honest, this could be as simple as it's a diversion in the show where they're hiding someone. Either the good guys or the bad guys are hiding someone by having multiple people head off in masks. I mean, first appearance of S.H.I.E.L.D., in the very beginning, we see LMDs being used to hide Nick Fury. So I mean,
in the comic book, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. In the comic. So.
I'm hoping it's not that. And here's the one reason why I'm hoping it's not that.
I don't think these are LMDs. I do think.
No. I'm hoping it's not what you're saying. Like the guy, they're all there to stop a criminal, but then all these guys in masks walk out, and one of them's criminal, and the rest of them aren't. I'm hoping it's not that because Arrow did that early on in the first season. And everyone comes running out. All the hostages from a bank come running out, and they all have masks on, like the gang that just robbed the bank. And I'm hoping it's not going to be that kind of thing, just because I know they're not necessarily ripping it off, but it could look like it. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
I will say this: I'm looking at a lot of comments on the original picture as it was posted. And there's a lot of speculation, and a lot of these speculations are heading into the MCU movies themselves. And so I see something that says like, well, I think it's a connection to Captain America the Winter Soldier. Probably not. We're talking about episode 4 here.
Right.
We're not talking about one that's coming out this spring.
I did read a spoiler that I'm not going to say.
Good.
I'm not going to say that. And this was speculation of the spoiler, but... it sounded like someone who kind of knew something, and so I was just like, well, I'm going to stay away from that one because...
But one thing that I have seen, though, is the rising tide is a guess in one of these pictures, and I'd buy that just because the sense of the rising tide is something that's being tied to the show. And I think that we are going to see a lot of these villains of the week being things that are tied to the internal mechanics of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and not to the wider MCU. So if you told me they were Rising Tide, I'd believe you. Because who knows? Maybe Rising Tide is season one big bad.
It could be. Although, isn't Skye part of Rising Tide?
She is.
And so it would be interesting.
Maybe she defected.
It would be interesting.
Double agent.
Because she would have access then to things. And it could be that Rising Tide is meant to be something like Anonymous, you know, where, you know, it's a group of people who are all kind of doing the same thing under the same name, but no one really knows anyone else. And it's not even necessarily the same agenda. It's just, you know, someone can do something and it's done in the name of Anonymous.
Here's what I find is being interesting, though. Spotted on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show set in Stockholm. The scene set in the Swedish capital will be seen in episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 2 synopsis, Peru.
Yes.
So is Canada sitting in for Peru and Sweden and Paris and
New York? I mean, they shot that, the scene in episode 1 that takes place in Paris. Some of that was shot in Paris. Those guys in those masks, that's in Stockholm.
So I kind of knew that answer, but what I'm getting at is, you know, typically a TV show is going to try to cut down costs to make money. So you see the famous where, you know, I spent the summer in the fall in Vancouver recording, mm-hmm. filming. Disney and Marvel spending some money here. They're moving some folks around.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of location filming that's being done. So they're spending some money. And I really wonder... I really wonder how long that's going to continue, and I wonder how that's going to impact the profitability. And I also wonder if they even care. I listened to a conversation on a podcast last week where they were talking about Star Wars The Clone Wars and basically said that when you looked at Star Wars The Clone Wars and the production that they put into it, they never made a cent on the actual airing of the show. But they didn't care because they knew they were going to be seeing revenue on the back end from toys and from other merchandise. So are we going to – you know, we talked even back in our Comic-Con episode about how Jeff Loeb, I believe, had made the comment that they had spent a ton of money and that they were going to have to slow that down. Here they are. They're still spending money on this.
Here's my speculation. My theory is that they're really working hard to make this an international story. And so every – you know, they're going to Peru, they're going to Paris and that kind of thing. Because they are having to sell this to international markets.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so, you know, that's going to help make back some of that production cost as well. I know, like, Under the Dome, that TV show, that was, like, the biggest American show in China when it premiered or something like that. And – So, yeah, I think they're going for that international market. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing an episode that takes place some in China.
Well, I was going to say that would be the one big you know, that's a big continent that they haven't landed on yet.
As far as, you know, episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D., you mean?
We've got a South American episode. We've got a North American episode. We've got
a European episode.
Two European episodes, you know. So we got to hit Asia and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go crazy. Let's go to Antarctica, too.
It'd be interesting to see where they end up going. But like I said, I think that this is part of an intentional thing to say, we're not just shooting a story about Paris. We have been in Paris, and we shot there so it would look like Paris. It's not a 3D model of Paris.
And let's be honest, too. It's not like, okay, they're in Sweden. Well, you could take the leap. Well, they were in Paris. It's not going to cost them that much to pick up whatever crew they have from Paris and take them to Stockholm, Sweden, and film there for a few days, too. But that pilot was filmed months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like – and this episode 4 is being pretty much filmed now. So it's not like they're even connected. It was a separate setup to send them to Sweden to record these episodes.
Yeah, yeah. And so I like it, though. I like that it feels like we're going big here. And if not cinematic, at least cinematic television. And I think that I think this bodes well for some of the things we're going to see.
I honestly cannot remember the last TV show that did this, where it was big and bold and not being filmed in Vancouver.
What about Heroes, your show?
I loved Heroes, but I mean, that was a lot of New York and a lot of L.A. It was never really – when it was international, it could have been stuff that was easily done in a soundstage. And I do think they filmed a lot of stuff in Vancouver.
Yeah, and most shows do. I mean, they get tax breaks there, and they have to have a certain number of Canadians working on their set. But yeah. Okay, well, that's our news then. And I think it's time for us to move on into our second segment, which is
Mission Report.
All right, so this is the episode that's going to go out right before the series goes live. And so we're going to take some time to talk about what we are hoping to see in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and to talk about things we're hoping not to see, I guess.
Well, we also need to talk about proper preparation. When a historical event occurs, you must be prepared to properly enjoy it, breathe it in, because you don't want to let the moment pass you by.
Okay.
What, you're not planning something big for next Tuesday?
You want to know, honestly, my plan for next Tuesday? My plan for next Tuesday?
Let's hear it.
Next Tuesday, I'm going to go to the after-school program where I mentor a kid every week. I'm going to be there for a little while and come home and try and get the kids in bed in time for me to watch the show. And then I'm going to sit down by myself, maybe in the living room if my wife lets me have it, and maybe upstairs in my bedroom if my wife claims the living room. I'm going to, you know, lobby hard for the living room, and I'm going to have myself a nice big bowl of popcorn because I love popcorn, and I'm going to watch the show. That's my plan for next week.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Why? Do you have big plans?
Well, I mean, I'm going to have a friend or two over.
Okay.
I've got a middle school tennis match earlier in the day, which is, for anyone who's ever seen middle school tennis, is quite painful. So I hope to forget it, as quickly as possible. So I'm going to have some friends over. We'll probably have a meal, break some bread. I'm going to be wearing my S.H.I.E.L.D. t-shirt given to me by my friend Ben Avery.
Oh, he sounds like a good guy.
He does.
I like him.
He's a nice guy, but I'm going to be wearing it as I greet my guests.
And you're going to say to them, of course, welcome to Level 7.
Level 7. Yeah. And then before the actual show starts, I am going to make everyone watch Agent Carter.
And why wouldn't you?
It's a delight.
I think it's a perfect prequel to what you're about to get into with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And then so, like, unlike you, who's going to probably be watching this alone, I'm going to be sharing in this historical moment as I'm going to be surrounded by friends and family and hope that my youngest child doesn't talk throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds like a little bit more fun and a little bit more interesting than mine. But, you know.
But David Clements may have me beat, though, because he's going to be getting a new pack of underwear.
Yeah, David Clements on our Facebook. He said he's going to mark the occasion by buying some new underwear.
I hope they're maybe Marvel-themed.
You know, underoos, of course. Do they still make underoos?
They do, but they don't have that paper pouch anymore.
I loved my underoos. Because I felt cool with the underwear, but the shirts had just – well, the ones I always got had just the symbol of
you
the
were
superhero.
A superhero. That was the way you got to cosplay.
It was not I still to this day do not like the shirts that have the picture of a person.
No.
Like it's Batman and there's his picture. I like it that I got my Batman shirt that I am Batman. And with the redesign for the New 52 Action Comics Superman – you know, you just put on your Superman t-shirt and you're done. You're cosplaying.
I was cosplaying today with my son, I guess.
Yeah, he's just wearing jeans and that t-shirt, and I guess he has a red cape. But anyway,
don't wear a red cape. Well, never mind.
David Clements, thank you for posting that information.
And I hope you enjoy your underwear.
I hope you enjoy the TV show, and I hope that they enhance each other. So.
There you go. All right, so what are we hoping for and what are we hoping not to see?
Well, I'll tell you some things that I've been thinking about, just imagining, like, what could they do? And, you know, I'm just hoping for some good villains. I'm hoping for some, not necessarily a Loki scale of villain, but a good villain that you're rooting to see them take down and who's doing things, you know... I don't know. I don't know if we're to expect a big bad, you know, like the setup for, you know, the big bad idea comes from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, from what I understand, where they every season had a big bad. And I don't know.
I'll argue that Heroes was supposed to have a big bad.
Oh, that's Heroes is a whole nother topic.
But I would say in the last 10 to 15 years, we've seen more and more shows that have an overarching story arc, even if they have shows that are independent of it. I mean, to be honest, if you look at the current run of Doctor Who, that's kind of how they're set up, is they've got the separate pieces, but they also have a bigger story arc throughout the entire run of a season.
And that's actually what really got me into Fringe when it first started, was because every episode felt like they had the monster of the week, basically. But then there was 5 minutes in the beginning, 5 minutes in the middle, 5 minutes toward the end that also expanded on the mythology and expanded on what the main big problem for them was going to be. Now, it kind of went off and I kind of stopped watching Fringe, so I don't know how it ended as far as if it kept that up or whatever. But, you know, going all the way back to X-Files, where that kind of was happening there, too. So, and it's funny to bring up X-Files, because that's what H. Keith Lyons, he said he's hoping on our Facebook, he said he was hoping for an X-Files Men in Black vibe, but with metahumans instead of the supernatural or aliens. So.
And I think he's probably going to get what he wants.
I think so, too. I think even in an interview, didn't they mention X-Files as one of the things that you can kind of expect from their show?
I think we're going to see a combination of mythology of let's not even call them mythology. Let's call them canon episodes that's building the canon of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that'll be supported by one-off adventure episodes.
Yeah, and because here's the other thing. I mean, you're even seeing – that overarching big bad showing up in procedural TV shows. Now, the procedural TV show is like the perfect popcorn-type television show where you don't have to watch every episode of Law & Order to get anything, because every single episode is completely self-contained. But you have some of them are kind of branching off into doing, you know, here's a serial killer that, is around and they have to take down. And so you want to come back next week because you want to see what happens with the serial killer. But for now, here's the crime of the week. And then the next week, here's the crime of the week. But remember that serial killer that you were interested in last time? Here's a little bit more information. And so I think that this will be more mythology based with a broader, you know, it's not just, oh, here's that one guy off doing that one thing for the whole season. It's going to be things that affect their episodes and affect the monster of the week. But I do think, yeah, I think we're looking at that.
And I don't know how much we want to get into it, but we, in the last week, ABC has released a clip that I think just kind of reinforces the fact that this is a team that's going to be working through case files of their own choosing, doing it on a weekly basis, going from place to place. I mean, they need a pilot for a reason.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was wondering about. You know, one of my favorite TV shows, and this is where I really became a fan of Whedon, is Firefly, right? Well, the thing about Firefly is it takes place on a spaceship. It's a ship-based show. We don't have too many of those out there anymore with science fiction ship-based shows like Star Trek or Stargate Universe was a ship-based show, Battlestar Galactica, and Firefly. I'm wondering if our plane, if the bus or whatever they're calling it, is our Serenity. You know, this is, I think, going to be the main hub. I think the plane is going to be a bigger part of the show than I ever anticipated when I first saw that first trailer. I think we're going to be going around in the plane from place to place, spending a lot of time there, and the character is going to be spending a lot of time there, and it's going to become their home base. That's their home.
And if we're spending money on things like trips to Sweden, it would make sense to do something like that because you'd have smaller sets that you would be reusing episode to episode.
Exactly.
So you could do some real nice cost savings there.
And I am – this is the thing I wondered then today as I was thinking about some stuff. There will be – there must be a bottle episode. And now a bottle episode, if you're not familiar with the term, this usually happens in they usually use the term rather for sci-fi. You know, Cheers as a TV show had one location, and every once in a while they go to someone's apartment or something like that, and they'd have to build that set. But they always had the location of the bar that for most episodes, that's the only location they used. And, you know, then you have like Star Trek Voyager, and every once in a while, any of the Star Treks, they had to have a couple episodes every season where they never left the ship because of the budget. You know, they're using big budgets because they're doing the special effects for big, huge space battles. Well, here's our bottle show where they don't leave the ship at all. Maybe have some Romulans.
So what I find interesting is the minute you said that, I thought to myself, well, I'm pretty sure Whedon's done one of these. And specifically with Firefly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I thought of – so I'm searching around here. What I thought it was the Out of Gas episode in which they lose oxygen because most of the crew is kind of shuffled off somewhere else. And then a lot of the actual action occurs with your main character, Malcolm, within the Serenity. But the thing about that episode is he's got tons of flashbacks. And I totally forgot about the flashbacks until I just read here – the synopsis of it. So I don't even know if you can call that a bottle episode just in the sense of those flashbacks are in many different places.
It just depends on what the extra stuff is and how cheap it is to make it. Like if the flashbacks – again, I don't remember the specifics of that episode, but where – I don't know where the flashbacks took place. But like even on
– some of them were not on the ship.
But were they in – you know, places that were cheap to use or I can't remember. The reason I even thought about this was because of Breaking Bad. And I was thinking about my favorite episode of Breaking Bad, and that was called The Fly. I didn't even know that was a bottle episode until I was reading about it today where they said it was a bottle episode because they had used up so much of their budget. They needed to have an episode that just took place in the location that they had built. And it's one of the best episodes of the series. You can do good bottle episodes, but I'm just wondering – Are they going to do one on this plane?
And the nice thing about a bottle episode is you can focus on your actors and your characters.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about the cheap gimmicks, the expensive gimmicks and special effects. And maybe that's why some of these bottle episodes are so good
and memorable.
Just the sense of that you know, you have to focus in on the crew.
So I'm watching for the bottle episode, and I'm really hoping it transcends bottle episodes. So that's one of my hopes. What about you? What are some of your hopes? Because I got a couple other things, but let's talk about some stuff you might have.
So one of my big hopes is I'm a big fan of Coulson. So when I read Philip's comment on our Facebook page where he said he's looking forward to a combination of humor, action, characters, and compelling stories just like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the thing that popped to me is, yeah, I want Coulson goodness. Because to me, the humor, the action, and the compelling stories, I think, you know, we are Coulson. Coulson is us. In the past, it's really played out with Clark Gregg. Mm-hmm. I think he's created a character that we love, and I want to see those things come back. I just want it on a weekly basis on my TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they're able to keep that sense of nobility that he has and that sense of honor that he seems to have and the sense of humor that he has and just the sense of uncynical goodness about that character.
So I'll be honest, when I saw the clip this week that they've released, and it's a clip of him and Melinda, I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be a little awkward because, you know, he's got to carry the whole thing now and maybe he's going to come off and, you know, I'm kind of a big deal. And to be honest, I mean, again, it was only a minute and a half sort of clip, but you looked at it and you're like, yeah, he's Coulson. Clark Gregg is Coulson. He's delivering Coulson. He knows what he's doing when he's Coulson. There was no sense of, you know, hey, I'm Clark Gregg. I'm kind of a big deal. So I'm very, very hopeful.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the tone was there for it to be Coulson.
Anything else you're looking forward to or hoping for?
Well, there is one comment that I want to close with. So I want to talk about a few of the other things that we're hoping for. I'm hoping that we get characters drawn out that we don't know anything about yet. I'm hoping to see a really good story arc for, like, Melinda, for example, because I think we're going to get one because it's pretty clear. You know, they've made it evident that she's got a past, and I want to see that drawn out, and I want to see it carried through over the next few seasons. Though, ironically enough, I'm beginning to get to the point where I may be okay if they never tell me how Coulson's still alive. I might be okay with that.
I think they're going to turn that into a big mystery. I really do. And if they do it well, I'll be happy that they did it. And if they don't, I won't be. So.
Don't you have an answer on Twitter from to this question that we got from somebody?
Things that we're hoping for, I do. And it's from Mark from Solo Talk Media. He does the Under the Dome podcast that I've been listening to. He said, beside good story and engaging characters, I'm looking forward to seeing Easter eggs from the movies and comic books. And I am too. In fact, speaking of Easter eggs from movies and comic books, I want to see, you know, this won't come as any surprise to anyone. I'd love to see Taskmaster. I think he'd make a great big bad. But I want to see the Great Lakes Avengers. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. If I don't see the Great Lakes Avengers, I'll be okay. I'll be fine. But if I do, I will not be fine. I will be hyperventilating alone in my living room, spilling my bowl of popcorn. My wife will come down. She'll find me. She'll call 911. She won't know what's going on.
Let's just hope your life insurance is well paid before that day.
Yeah, and this is bad because I don't have medical insurance. So
Now, Stephen Jones... He threw out there. He wants to see more of the same from the Marvel, Marvel Cinematic Universe awesomeness. Again, I want to see that too. But I'm also going to throw out there, Taskmaster. We may see him, but I think in a season like season one, we may see two or three characters that we can say, okay, this is somebody that was a part of the mainstream Marvel universe that has now been brought into the MCU. like Taskmaster, but I don't think we're going to see a ton of these characters. I think we're going to see just a handful every season.
I believe that the Camilla Reyes, the episode 2084, is probably going to be self-contained and really not branch off into the mainstream Marvel universe very much. Yep. I do know I've seen spoilers for the pilot episode, and so I know there's some tie-ins to some of the movie stuff in the pilot episode. And I'll say this right now.
I think we may see Stark Industries, but we're not going to see Tony Stark.
Right, right. And I'll also say this. I think that those red masked characters, we are going to find out that they are tied into some sort of character or something from the comic books. You know, some obscure character like a Flag Smasher who is going to be so cool in that episode. And then people are going to be like, I want to see that comic book. And then they'll be like, whoa, that's what this was from? That's the source material?
Disappointed.
What? Similar to, I think, what happened to some people with Iron Man when they went and saw the Iron Man movie at first. And then they went, you know, maybe those five people who said, I want to read a comic book now. And then they go to the comic book store and they're like, that's Iron Man? This isn't like what I saw. So
do we have any more? Because there's one more comment I want to talk about.
Do you want to talk? Well, no, we do have Tom Holste's comment.
Okay, give me Tom.
Tom Holste said he's not expecting much by way of appearances of superheroes. He's saying, I just hope it'll be a fun spy show with Joss's typical good characterizations and dialogue. And then, he also, at the end of his comment, had his plans for what he's going to do, how he's going to watch it.
And he's a lucky man.
He says, my Bible study is Tuesday night, and my parents go to church on Wednesday night. But I'll know they'll want to see this too, so I'll probably watch it Wednesday while they're gone, and then I'll watch it Thursday with them to gauge their reactions. So
he's just lucky because he gets to watch it twice.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping, and I haven't seen anything yet, but I'm hoping that it will be available on ABC.com. Most of their shows, they have the last five episodes of a show available. So I'm hoping that they do that to allow people to catch up with the show if they don't catch that pilot episode. So,
yeah.
All right.
All right. So we have one more comment on this. So I'm going to award this comment the no prize.
The no prize.
The no prize winner of the day.
I'm not going to explain no prize right now, but go out and Google for yourself Marvel no prize. And I think Ricky Lambert deserves the no prize.
Yes.
Because his expectations, we both saw it at the same time coming up, and we both chuckled and said, I agree.
We chuckled Ricky, in sync with each other.
Ricky hopes for five seasons in a movie. That's the no prize right there. Everybody else, your feedback's good, but there's the no prize.
Yeah. You can't really beat that. Sorry. That'd be really cool. Five seasons and then a movie. And, you know, maybe that's the last movie. Maybe that movie could be their Crisis on Infinite Earths for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. When DC Comics in 1985 decided, we have 50 years of history that we need to get rid of. Let's just destroy the universe and start over. And so they did. Maybe that could be the button on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. And then, oh, it's a new Iron Man movie with a new Iron Man. I don't know. Yeah. Ricky, you win. Nice job. So, Daniel, we've talked about what we're expecting, what we're hoping for. We haven't talked much about what we're not hoping for, but honestly, there's really not much to say about that. What are we not hoping for? We're just hoping it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And so, if it's bad, then that's what we're not hoping for.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be cynical about it. I'm really not. I mean, I've seen some bad show. I don't think that this is going to be the reboot of the Knight Rider. And let's be honest, Knight Rider, the original with Hasselhoff, wasn't that great to begin with. But
I'm hoping for a MASH here. All right. Now, you know, MASH was a movie first and then became the TV show. The TV show outshined the movie, honestly. You know, people love the characters of the TV show. I'm hoping for that kind of transition here where it's its own thing. And I know they're selling it on the name of the Avengers, but I'm hoping that they're able to let it be its own thing, and that the viewers will let it be its own thing.
I agree.
Well, I think we should move on to our final segment for this episode, and that is the listener feedback, which we were going to call Don't Yield, Right to Shield, but we've gone for something a little more, I guess, traditional.
Shield Field Report.
Daniel, do we have any feedback to share?
Well, I believe we've got a voicemail.
We do. We used up our Facebook and Twitter feedback when we were talking about our main topic, and that's okay. That's okay. yeah, we have a voicemail. And we
received a Facebook message that we're going to talk about for a few minutes. So which one do you want to do first?
Let's do the Facebook message, because that voicemail is awesome.
Well, the message is awesome too.
Yeah. Make you shed a tear?
No.
Neither did the voicemail, but it could have.
Maybe it did a little bit, to be honest. Okay. Because this message is from Brandon, who is actually somebody that I know from the Disney fan community. And we've actually worked together on a magazine in the past together. And Brandon's a great guy, super creative guy. But I've gotten the impression from some of our messages that he hasn't been hugely into comics. And maybe Marvel should pay attention to the fact that someone like Brandon is looking at comics based on what they've seen in things like the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
So Brandon's question in Essential was, I was wondering if you had any good suggestions for comics for someone just starting to get into them. I really love the art of the older stuff. I looked through the Avengers versus Thanos collection and thought the art was great. It reminded me of the old Carl Barks Donald Duck and Scrooge McDuck comics. Any suggestions for some older comics like that I could find in stores? So for me, when I looked at this, and I'm going to let you think for a few minutes, Ben. I didn't quite go as far back as some of those issues that you find in the Avengers versus Thanos, because I think some of those in that collection are late 60s and early 70s. What I kind of went towards for me was kind of my own comic book zen sort of time period, which is the late 80s and early 90s. So for me, the sorts of things that get me excited were Claremont and Jim Lee's Uncanny X-Men run, the first Wolverine series. Amazing Spider-Man during that period. I believe it was McFarlane. And to be honest, not the Avengers, but the West Coast Avengers. And not the Great Lakes Avengers either. So those are the sorts of things that got me really, really excited about some older comics. But again, not quite as old as some of the things you find in Avengers versus Thanos. One of the suggestions that I gave was maybe looking into something. Marvel's created a series called Marvel Firsts, and it is a graphic novel collection that basically takes a decade and just grabs kind of the first issues and the landmark moments within that decade into one volume. So if you're someone who's trying to begin to get into comics, if you gave yourself kind of a tour through some of those, you could find out, do I really like the stuff that came out of this decade, or do I find it really kind of cheesy?
Yeah, because there is a lot of cheese. But that's a hard question to answer without knowing some of the other details of like what you're into. But I do want to mention there's a book that came out called Annihilation Classic. And that was before the whole Annihilation crossovers that kind of rebooted the Marvel's space heroes, and kind of we got Guardians of the Galaxy out of that. And that now this book it actually has Rocket Raccoon in it, the four issue miniseries that Daniel hated.
It will only make you dumber.
It will make you question things.
When you read it, you'll say to yourself, hey, I thought the idea of a gun-toting raccoon sounded pretty awesome until I read this.
Okay, all right. But there was a Captain America graphic novel called Captain America the Captain. It's by Mark Gruenwald. And I love this arc of Captain America's story. There's just lots of funky weirdness going on. Captain America gives up being Captain America, and they bring in Johnny Walker, I think his name is. who is a current character in the Marvel Universe, but originally he was going to be Captain America's replacement. Another book I'd recommend, The Hulk, Heart of the Atom, which I think that goes back to the 70s, and it is just fun, barbarian Hulk stuff. Harlan Ellison actually wrote part of that. And then there's an Iron Man arc called Doom Quest, and that is just fun time travel, Iron Man. Now, this is still, I think we're in the 80s again with this, because this is, this is David Michelin and Bob Layton were working on that together. They actually came back together and did a follow-up to that called Legacy of Doom. And that's one of my favorite Iron Man storylines, is this Doom Quest, this science fiction time travel thing again. Guardians of the Galaxy, old school Guardians of the Galaxy, which you can get now. It's weird. It's wacky. It's funky. It's sci-fi. I love it. So, finally, I also say Man-Thing. Steve Gerber, old school 70s, weird stories. I love it. But yeah, you got to go to your library, I think, and just kind of look through and see what they've got. And
yeah. I think the thing you find is everybody's got their own kind of taste. And right. I think you and I argue all the time over Deadpool. And like for me, I so get Deadpool and his taco loving catchphrases. And for you, it just does not resonate at all. And there's really nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it does not resonate with me. But that's because, I mean, art is about connecting with your audience. And some things connect with some people. I mean, Daniel, let me ask you this. If you had the option to purchase how many pages is this? I want to say, 1,200-page hardcover graphic novel. Featuring every issue rather of Man-Thing, from his first appearance in Kazar to his last appearance in like 1983. Would you ever buy that?
You couldn't give that to me for free.
It's on my shelf.
Unless I knew you didn't have it and someone else was giving it to me, and I knew you would connect with it.
Now, I was able to get it at a steep discount. Okay, that's the only reason I went ahead and got it. It was because it was a steep, steep discount. But I'm willing to guess, out of all of our listeners, if anyone has this on their shelf, send us a picture, you get a no prize.
There you go.
All right. So, anyway, I think that's our lead into our next feedback, which is a voicemail.
Hey, Ben and Daniel, Alan Rainey calling here from Flight of the Angels. I just wanted to drop you guys a quick voicemail to let you know how much I'm enjoying Welcome to Level 7. A little bit of disclosure is in order here. First of all, I'm only up to episode 5. I definitely started late, but I want you to know that, Ben, some of the frequent references you've made on Strangers and Aliens, along with Matt Anderson calling it his new favorite podcast all the time over on that other podcast, that finally wore me down, and boy, am I ever glad it did. You know, I spend a lot of time on the road, and you need to know I recently dropped XM radio from my vehicle. It was a budget-saving move, so I figured, you know what, I still need a way to stay awake on the road, so I'm going to take those dollars that I was spending on XM and instead turn it into free money by listening to podcasts, more podcasts than I was. Well, it didn't take long to realize that the big two in Christian Geek podcasts, while still posting regularly, still didn't have enough hours out there to fill my drive time. Now, I added Geekly Yoked, then thanks in no small part to the incredible Thing of Awesome that was the Podcasters Initiative earlier this year. I got hooked up with Equally Yoked, but I still had drive time budget for one more. Well, here comes Welcome to Level 7, and again, listening to you guys promote it a little bit, that works. I tried it once. I was immediately hooked. Why? Well, that leads me to disclosure number 2. Maybe I was feeling a little oversaturated with superhero movies over the summer and so much content on all the podcasts that I pretty much avoided the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. trailers. Yeah, I knew that Agent Coulson was coming back, and I pretty much left it at that. I was planning on maybe catching an episode or two of the show this fall, but I really wasn't planning on making a major time investment. Then I listened to your first episode. Wow. your enthusiasm for that moment that you got your title from is so infectious. It was so compelling that I ran home and watched the trailer with the blonde. And yeah, we now have a new favorite show, and it hasn't even premiered yet. Now, guys, I don't usually overreact to spoilers, but I did feel a little pang of regret that I didn't see the trailer. It's my own fault, but that I didn't see the trailer before hearing the Agent Coulson news. Well, now turn the page. My 22-year-old daughter, she's a certified sci-fi nerd in herself. She was visiting one evening, and of course, like everyone else on the planet, she loved the Avengers. She was well-versed in the cinematic universe. So I asked her, have you seen the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. trailer yet? Well, it only took a little bit of discussion for me to realize that not only had she not seen the trailer, but guys, she didn't know. So I called up the trailer on her Apple TV, and instead of watching the screen, I watched for her reaction. She says, I'm clearance level 6. I know that Agent Coulson was killed in action before the Battle of New York. I looked at my daughter, and she actually looked sad at that memory. This was simply too good. Then out of the shadows, he steps into the light. Welcome to level 7. My daughter did a double fist pump. Guys, it was truly the second greatest moment of my geek patriarchy. I mean, I got to be honest, the greatest moment was when my 3-year-old grandson grabbed a copy of The Empire Strikes Back off the shelf, and he came to me and said, let's watch this one. This is the good one. There's no way you can beat that. But this was the second best moment of me being a geek parent. So anyway, what I'm saying, guys, is thanks for the podcast. I'm going to hit current on them, and then I'm going to keep listening. You've reawakened my appreciation for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You provided me with another wonderful nerd parenting memory. And most of all, you've kept me awake on the road so that my vehicle and I do not become a hot mess. And that was for you, Daniel. Thanks.
It's infectious, Daniel.
Well, I think if we're doing the drinking game,
you've
this would be your second
him.
Time.
Yeah, that's quite a drinking game. 1-2. This is actually a sobriety game. okay.
So if you want to, if you gave a no prize, I know what you would give it to.
Oh, to Alan, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The no prize winner of the day.
I love that we got to be a part of his. Geek parenting. I think that's fun, and that's why we do this. You know, that's why we are doing this, is not to come up here and talk about things and talk about how wonderful our opinions are, but to be a part of the conversation with you guys. And so we love that Alan actually sent us that email or voicemail. And now he sent us a voicemail by using our actual voicemail phone number. That's 17755 level 7. That's 17755, the word level 7, or 1775-553-8357. But you can record an MP3 and send that to us, or you can just send us an old-fashioned email, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. You can also go to welcometolevel7.com/feedback, and we have a form there that you can just type us a message. You can follow us on Facebook. But all these things, you know, they're set up for conversation. And that's what we're excited about for when the show starts. Now, currently the plan is, after every episode, it airs at 8 o'clock Eastern, which is what I am, and 7 o'clock, whatever that weird time zone is that does things at 7 o'clock.
Central. The natural time zone.
It airs at, you know, so we'll, Daniel and I will be both be watching it at the same time. Daniel with people and me alone. But afterward is when we're going to record. We're going to record Tuesday nights. We're going to put the episode together on Tuesday night. And so most of the feedback that we receive about episodes will be about the previous episodes. When we record about episode 1, we're not expecting to have gotten a whole bunch of feedback. Now, if you want to send us any feedback and it comes to us before we start to record, we will possibly use it in that episode. So if you watch the episode and you're like, okay, type, you know, and send us a message, that's great. We will use it. But basically, listener feedback is going to be about the previous episode. And hopefully that'll work out. If we if it doesn't, we'll adjust, and we'll basically be coming to you listeners and saying, well, is this working? And if it's not, we'll adjust. We'll make course corrections. That's okay. We just want to hear from you. And that message from Alan was awesome. The message we got from Brandon was cool. I don't think we've gotten a bad bit of feedback yet, to be honest.
Obviously, you don't talk to your wife enough.
Well, my wife doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, yeah. So that said, Daniel, any final words to share with our audience there?
Well, if you want to follow me, first timers, you can find me at BetweenDisney.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at BetweenDisney and on Facebook at Facebook.com/BetweenDisney, because Marvel for me is one aspect of my Disney fandom. So you can find out about all sorts of Disney things at those locations.
Yeah, I'll say this before and I'll say it again. You are one of the luckiest fans out there, because huge Disney fan, and what does Disney do? Buy up your other two big fandoms.
Yeah, all they have to do is buy the Cubs and I'm good.
So, and as far as finding me, I'm online at just benavery.com, and you can find me on Twitter, where my Twitter handle is Whispering Loon, one word, but it's Whispering Loon like the bird. And yeah, I've talked about where you can find Welcome to Level 7. We are also on Twitter at Level 7 Pod, and we really want to hear from you. We really hope to hear from you. So,
Ben, do you have anything to say?
I do. You know, we start our podcast with a phrase, Welcome to Level 7, and it's a phrase that, you know, was in that first trailer for the show. It was welcoming the viewers. It was welcoming the characters to that higher level. And we end every episode with a quote from the movie, or last time, a sound effect from the comic books. And this time, I think it's quite possibly the most appropriate quote that we could end with. And you know what that is, Daniel?
Tell me, sir.
Welcome to Level 7. Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are Level7Pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.
All right, so we have one more comment on this. So I'm going to award this comment the no prize.
The no prize.
So we're not
insert sound effect.
We're not.
There was a Captain America graphic novel called. I'm going to have to edit. Shoot, I can't find it. The Captain, I think. Hang on, I'm going to have to edit. Just a second. I don't have my headphones on, so if you're talking, I can't hear you, but it's recording.
That's right. We just heard something break.
Okay, I'm back. We're not perfect podcasters. We're not the podcasters you... No, I'm not going to say that.
Are you saying we're not the podcasters you need, want, but we're the ones you need?
Yeah, see, you stumbled over it, too.
I will say, since we're in an editing piece still, the post-credits needs to be you searching, because there was a big crash.
Yeah, I knocked over my Enterprise.
Yeah. Time.
You knocked over your Enterprise.
I did.
Okay.
And then some books fell. So
I didn't expect to hear that tonight. Okay. So